Blog Talk Radio.
The opportunity to do a clinical unit, that is a clinical unit of a clinical pastoral education, I learned a lot. I learned so much that what I learned during that time changed my approach to ministry. Indeed, it didn't change my self-understanding about my role as a minister or as a pastoral counselor. There at the hospital where I worked for that time, I met persons up close, and I grew to see that my theory of who they were and who I was was deeply challenged, which for me was a very healthy thing. And the other chaplain students whom I worked, I do appreciate them. They were individuals who were there to support and to critique what they observed in my life, and so I am thankful for them. I am thankful for the patients and what I learned from them, many of whom were believing ones. Some were not. But those who were not, I learned a great deal from them, too. These individuals were very vulnerable. And I had to learn so much and renegotiate so much about myself. In my interaction, so I got to see me and my unconscious conflicts, etc. And I thank God for that time because it helps mature me and it helped me to see persons as whole, even though vulnerable. And I got to see I got to have much insight into myself as well. And so during that time, I made it my joyous task to begin reading the literature of psychoneuroimmunology, psychosomatic, and other types of literature, because I wanted to know. I wanted to understand deeply and really the human condition from this viewpoint. Some of the questions that persons in the vulnerability of the hospital have for me, I, in turn, begin to develop questions for myself as a minister and pastoral counselor. I had to go back and reread the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first two Gospels, we call the Synoptic Gospels, which means a sing together. John's Gospel is unique. The language is extraordinary, and it is very simple, but it is not simplistic. It's very profound, almost mystical. The first three Gospels, we believe, that Mark was the first gospel written, and that Matthew, Matthew put together his gospel document, made use of Mark. Mark 3:7, the first document. And then there's Luke. And so it seems that Luke, the physician, theologian, used Mark as a resource, and then some other documents that we don't have time to discuss on the show or just mention. But there's the Gospels are powerful. The Gospels elucidate the public ministry of the Christ. The Christ of it, it's something that should never leave our consciousness. We should make every effort to study these documents deeply and thoroughly. Because herein is information that we need to understand for our very lives. I am come, he said, that is Jesus, I am come, that they might have life more abundantly. The Greek, Jesus said, I am come. I am, the great I am of Exodus 3:14. I am come, that they may have life in superabundance. In superabundance. You see the difference? And even in his Luke reports, the first public message of Jesus, and that is recorded in Luke 4, in that first public message, we have for us the aspects of the public ministry of Jesus, which we believe to have lasted from 2.5 to 3+ years. And he is, let me say this, he is the incarnation of God. He is the Anthropos. And the incarnation was a radical event, a marvelous event in history. Indeed, he is salvation history. He is the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. He is himself salvation history. His words are not to be ignored. His words should make a profound impact on who we are, because they say we are believing ones. His words must always go beyond a mere intellectual awareness. His words are life. The Word of God is, as we have received the tradition of the Word of God, is the breath of God. We are told that God breathed into man, into the Adam, the breath of lives, plural in the Hebrew. God breathed into the Adam the breath of lives. God created the Adam from the Adama, that is, from the earth. And man became the living one. So, this word that God communicates to us, again, is his own breath that speaks to our spirits. He that is conjoined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. We are one spirit with God. Jesus came to bring the way. It is, and we say, eternal life. Zoe, Zoe in the Greek. You and I were born with bios, B-I-O-S, biological life. Jesus has come to give us Zoe, spiritual life. Spiritual life, the highest blessedness of a creature. Jesus has come to bring lasting prosperity to the human heart that can never be taken away. Individuals who come to Jesus are said to be born anew. I note that. Be born of the Spirit. You see, this is God's plan. This is God's marvelous work. Now, when I read from Luke chapter 4, and first of all, before I read from chapter 4, beginning at verse 18, let me welcome you to A Sound Heart. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. It is to the oppressed, disillusioned ones, to those who are spiritual paupers, as it were. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And this word is in the perfect passive participle. The brokenhearted, literally in the Greek, those whose hearts have been shattered. So, or smashed, or crushed. I want to take my time with this because I really want you to get the critical nature of understanding the gospel. And understand the ancient clinical wisdom of the Son of God, of Jesus. Indeed, the clinical wisdom of Jesus is ancient, but it is also contemporaneous. Scientists today, researchers today, are coming into an awareness of the meaning of feelings and emotions, attitudes, thoughts, and how these are related to human dis-ease. No longer are they thinking about human beings in terms of the ghost in the machine, or in terms of Cartesian dualism. That is, the mind and the body. No longer is the heart merely thought of as a pump. Remember? Do you remember that? When we were in school and I was taught that the heart was merely a pump. Four-chambered heart was a pump. The heart was reduced to a machine. And now we know that is not so. We know now that the heart has 40,000 neurons of its own. And we know that the brain, that is, and the heart interact. There is a silent, arcane language that goes on between the brain and the heart. Notice the words of Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the shattered in heart, to preach deliverance." That word deliverance means, in the Greek, forgiveness. To preach deliverance or forgiveness to the captives. This is a very important term in the Word of God. Captives. And the root of this word captives means it means to be taken in a war. It means to be taken at the point of a spear. S-P-E-A-R, to be taken captive in war, to be taken at the point of a spear. Interesting, is it not? I read many definitions for addiction, and the one satisfying definition that I've come across for addiction is from here. Be taken captive at the point of the spear, to be taken captive in war. Now, when I speak to individuals who are believing ones, whose minds have been immersed in pornography, this is a very serious and destructive addiction. I'm going to use that language. But I'm not using addiction the way it is used clinically. I'm using addiction in a different manner. That is what I see from Scripture, to be taken at the point of fear, to be taken in war. Because, see, this is spiritual warfare. People do not understand the biblical doctrine of human passionate cravings, or classically called lust, schizophrenia, epithumia, is one of the words that's used in the New Testament for passionate cravings that are negative, that are harmful, that are destructive, that are malignant, that are not at all healthy. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. One of the most serious words in the New Testament that has to do with our lives as believing ones is that word, is that term, a failure to hear. A failure to hear God's description for our well-being. That is very serious. And so, when we want to understand some of the reasons why people may have unfulfilling spiritual lives, let us begin to think about the importance of walking with God in an appropriate manner, because God is holy. And God says to us, be holy. Notice the state of being verb, be holy, for I am holy. God wants us to have prosperous hearts. See, when we are in an appropriate relationship with God, when we are in koinonia with God, the word fellowship means to have joint things in common. When we have, and you and I have joint things in common with God through Christ Jesus, when we are in an appropriate relationship with God, then our hearts are not encumbered with chronic, negative, emotional burdens. Jesus goes on to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the spiritually blind. Set at liberty, or the Greek preposition there for at is in, E-N. Set in liberty them that are free. So, here is a summary statement about the public ministry of Jesus. What a wonderful and powerful and beautiful and provocative summary of what he lived during his public ministry. And what we need to understand about who he is and what he brought about during that time. He said wonderful and marvelous things that we need to rediscover. We need to go back to the scripture and the words of Jesus. Now this, I'm going to be reading now from Matthew 15:17. Verse 17. Do not you yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Let me read verse 18 once again. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, stoma, come forth from the heart. From literally, the word here for heart is cardia. Of course, you get our term cardiac, cardiology, from this word, from this Greek word. And they defile or make unclean the man. He goes on, verse 19, for out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts. Notice the first thing he said, for out of the heart, etch is the preposition, out from the heart, seed, evil thoughts. And clinical researchers are now coming to understand this. Jesus said it long ago. So you and I have his ancient, the ancient clinical wisdom at our disposal. So that we can go back to the Word of God. We can study the Word of God. We can get a handle on the truth for ourselves, unencumbered with the overlay of religion. Because we know thy word is truth. And the words of Jesus, as we read from Luke, are designed to the street. But we need to be able to hear Jesus. We need to hear him. He that hath ears to hear, let him. There is the blessed ear, the blood-tipped ear. Aaron and his son, before they began their priestly ministry, the thumb, that is the lobe of the right ear, was tipped with blood. The thumb of the right hand was tipped with blood, and the great toe of or the big toe of the right foot was tipped with blood. In other words, I will hear the word of God. Now, hear doesn't mean I'm going to sit and listen, or I'm going to sit and allow someone to speak to me and then walk away without what has been said having an impact upon me. It's not biblical understanding of hearing. Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, Shema Yisrael Adonai, Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear is a verb, which means I will hear with a view to obeying what is heard. In Greek, the word is akouo. It also means the same thing as it does in Hebrew, to hear with a view to obeying what is heard. For out of the heart, out of the cardia, proceed evil thoughts, murder. Now, listen to what Jesus says. Out of the heart proceed thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. And so it is very important to understand what the words of Jesus have for our lives. Just listen very carefully to what he has said, and then we are able to glean from his words those things that God wants us to hear, those things that God wants us to know about our lives. So Jesus said, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands or unwashed hands defileth not the man. When we think about these words and what they mean to us or what they should mean to us, they should change our lives. Because herein, Jesus has laid out for us a very important truth for ourselves. Now, when he says these words, to whom is he speaking? Well, he is speaking to his own. We need to understand and hear that God wants you and I to hear his words in such a way that they will change our lives. And when we do this, we know that our lives will be blessed. Our lives will be changed because now we have chosen to walk the road of obedience. And when we walk the road of obedience and live before God in a way that is honoring to his word, then we will have prosperous hearts. Then we will begin to understand the will of God in a unique way. And that is that indeed Christ is the living one. So look at his words once again. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So in other words, if we look carefully at verse 19, we can understand Jesus speaking about spiritual part of the speech. Now, today scientists know that they may not use the term evil, or say evil thoughts, because that would be clinically unacceptable. But when we read the words of Jesus, we see why people have problems with their physical hearts. The heart is not made of pump. Physical heart, the beautiful instrument, physical heart is built on therein. We'll continue the study next time. God bless you, beloved, and welcome to A Sound Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Stop that.